What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. You know the folks. It's John Lopez, the OG. I'm Reginald Atatula and Figgy Fig, rocking with you on the ones and twos. You too, get involved with the program, 713-572-4610. Not the point, but as I scroll the internet looking at various different things, you know, as I continue to try and plot the Houston Texans' domination in various different ways.
Oh, we're plotting domination.
Apparently, Tyrell Shavers, I understand why you're saying who in this moment. Wide receiver for the Bills, also has a torn ACL. He played on it in the second half, in fact, of that game last week. So he's gone. I mentioned, remember, that Gabe Davis is gone. Josh Palmer was put on IR as well. They don't have, they barely have any wide receivers left.
Oh, how do you feel about you know, some of these guys like
on the practice squad? Because they have three wide receivers on their active roster right now. Mm-hmm. Yes, they can field the starting lineup. It's, they have Brandon Cooks, Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman. And then after that, it's dudes, man. Mecole Harmon's still in the league.
That's probably going to be the guy, huh?
He definitely gets elevated in my mind. And then maybe they elevate one more, but it's going to be a lot of 12 personnel for them.
Steven Gosnell?
Not sure who he is,
Christian,
to be honest.
Wilkerson?
Hadn't heard of him personally. So, yeah, that's probably not going to help my desire to host an AFC championship game for the Bills to get a victory. But who knows? Maybe Ed Oliver coming back, you know, maybe he'll run some routes in addition to rushing the passer. I don't know. But we got to worry about the New England Patriots. The Texans worry about their side, and whatever else happens will happen. And with that being the case, the Texans, I think, are going to be able to run the football here.
I do, too. What is your case? Because there's a couple things that just jump out at me.
Well, first and foremost, I was obviously shocked by the 112-yard performance for Woody Marks and the 140-something, a lot, yardage you know, performance from the offense running anyways. And one of the things that they did really well, obviously they had these duo blocks that they did really, a lot of great combination blocks, a lot of inside zone as well when they were starting to uptick on the, oh, this is working, we're just going to run it down your throat. And I had to go and ask one of my really football knowledgeable friends. I can say his name. I threw it out to a Super Bowl winning scout, Brian Broaddus. So I was like, "Hey, does inside zone have like a natural advantage versus 3-4 fronts?" And he was like, "Yeah, actually, it does." I was like, "Okay, so this is something I had not considered." You know who runs a 3-4 front?
That would be the New England Patriots.
Yeah, the New England Patriots have a 3-4 front. So you know me, I had to go and see what are the statistics that I can use to maybe see what's been happening with this New England Patriots front. And I tried to go from week 10 forward, right? Because obviously the full season isn't necessarily giving you the best idea. What does the last half of the season tell you? And since week 10, the New England Patriots, against inside zone in particular, allowed 4.8 yards per rush. It was good for 28th in the league. They were one of the five worst teams stopping inside zone.
And you think defense with them.
I mean, at least when you think of Vrabel, but this team has really been a lot of Drake May and a decent amount of little bit here and there. Obviously, Christian Gonzalez on the backside is really good. On top of that, you talk about like a duo and man kind of things, which again are one of the concepts that the Texans did really well in this game, and they've done pretty well all season long. The Patriots allowed, interestingly enough, 3.4 yards per carry, which was fifth best. So oddly enough, they were pretty good in those circumstances. But inside zone, which I know this team likes running, this Texas team, they're really bad at. And I was like, huh, maybe this is here. The interior of their defensive line can be moved. It's something that up in those parts, they've had some concerns about. Now, they did bring back Milton Williams, who is one of their 3-4 defensive ends. And he looked good in their game last week. But and he's not in this sample of stats for a long time because he missed probably something like 6 weeks during the season. And then also their inside linebacker, Robert Spillane, who plays, obviously, linebacker, getting up in the run, that matters. He just came back as well. So does that change from being 28th versus inside zone to what? 15th? Like, are they going to be average? that's about where the Steelers were. I think that you have a possibility if you get up and if you're on your blocks, which it felt like they did pretty well, and with the schematic advantage that I think you can create using this inside zone, I think you could still probably run the ball. Maybe you don't run for, you know, 100, have a running back run for 100 yards, but you can still have an effective run game, which is necessary, I think, for the best versions of this Texans offense.
Yeah, no, look, I feel much the same way, and part of it is exactly what you said. When they and it was a thing of beauty, to be honest, the way they were double teaming the nose or the interior tackle in this game and being able to get to the second level in the Steelers game has been a revelation. But I think two other things just flat out, you know, that have been more recent, kind of what you're talking about. You're looking at the, you know, the last third of the season or so. This offensive line is just better. At the outside positions too. Ariante Ursary, I'm not going to say revelation because he's a rookie and it's just about a development, but he's played really, really well, you know, in the pass game for sure, but certainly in the run game as well. And Trent Brown has been doing much the same thing. He really held the edge with some help from Blake Fisher.
He was throwing dudes out the club.
Yeah, Blake Fisher had, you know, probably his best game as a Texan outside of the, you know, getting smoked on a pass rush, but that's going to happen occasionally. So I think the edges are real good too. And then the other part that is truly a revelation is, you know, there is no more who's your number one running back. Woody Marks is your guy. Woody Marks has found that that comfort level, that ability to, you know, the proverbial, the game has slowed down and knowing when and where to cut and being able to hit the ball. I mean, to hit the hole, you know, at full speed when he knows it's there. So the combination of the offensive line, the ability to double team, how good they've been at that, and Woody Marks. You know, Nick Chubb has been a nice changeup, but Woody Marks is the running back.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Sure, but I will say, though, seeing Nick Chubb look that effective, as he has been put on the back burner for a lot of the latter portions of the season, that was deeply encouraging as well, because I think there is something to be said for. I feel like we should name the blue tent, like the Woody Marks honorary tent, because he'd be in there all the damn time.
Yeah.
Somewhat to his chagrin, I don't know if you saw, he seemed like he was pretty upset. He posted something on his Instagram story that I imagine was about the way that, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers ended up on his ankle with the time that he went into the tent this game.
Yeah.
The possibility of Woody Marks missing a few plays, even though he'll come back and play, he'll tough through
it. He did it this past week.
But the possibility of him missing a few plays to maybe, knock on wood, wherever you are, missing substantial time because of one of these types of injuries, it's mitigated a little bit, especially if Nick Chubb looks, you know, useful in especially those inside zone reps, those duo reps, where he has an opportunity to, you know, read the blocks and use his feet well and kind of dance in the space like he did. I think that is helpful. Plus, we're another week removed from what Jawar Jordan was dealing with. Is this something where Jawar Jordan will be back? And now you have a three-man complement, and you can give them all a little bit of burn, see who's doing the best, and
that's
just
a great
let them
point
go.
On Jawar Jordan, I hadn't even really considered that. I thought high ankle sprain, he'd be still out, but we don't know. By the way, they'll be taking the practice field here in a little bit more than an hour, so we will get some early looks at that thing, including Nico Collins, which I wouldn't expect to see him out there. But
if you see Nico Collins out there, honestly, I might call the NFL on the Texans myself, because
hey,
ain't no way. wait, what?
That guy was loopy. But no, Jawar Jordan might be something. And D'Amico Ryan's actually addressed this, and we were, you know, I played it for you before the show. You know, I think just their the confidence level in how physical they can be on the front and what Woody Marks is doing has kind of been off the charts.
When it comes to the run game, if we want to have, you know, success, it's going to be us. It's about, you know, having that desire and that will to truly stay on your blocks, to truly trust your technique, trust the fundamentals, things you worked all offseason, all training camp, all those things you work. Like, you got to put it on display. And you know the other team, like you mentioned, the Patriots, really good run defense. So it's never easy running the football, right? And that's what I like about it, because it's not easy. It's hard. A lot of people shy away from doing hard things. But if you want to have success in the playoffs, I feel like you have to be able to control the line of scrimmage and run the football really well. So that's what we have to do versus a really good run defense. And that's what it is at this time of year. You got, you know, two good teams going at it, and that's how it should be.
Yeah, that just the transformation up front, it reached its peak, really, I think, against the Steelers. I mean, they were just mauling fools. They took the life out of them. They tired them out. And then Woody Marks was tiring him out, and Nick Chubb, but tiring him out the way they were finishing runs. I feel very confident that they're going to be able to run the ball here.
And if they are, I think that that very much bodes well for what this team's capability of winning it, especially because if you can get rid of those major turnovers, we know the idea of finishing, that is one of the keys to them finishing, is being able to run the football and take the life out of a team. It also kept the defense off the field, man. You limited possessions in that game, and you had those long 14 play drives that allowed that defense to be maximum fresh.
Yeah.
Like this is important not just to the offensive side, because for one, you give yourself good third down circumstances, right?
Yeah,
and third downs make the difference. That was the most glaring disparity in this game, in the wild card game, is that you were what, 10 of 15 on third down? And they were 2 of 14.
Yeah.
That was a glaring disparity of the game, and what made it the blowout that it was. If you can run the ball, you give yourself thirds and shorts, like what we saw in that game. Remember, 5.5 yards was the average on third down in that game.
Mm-hmm.
You do that, again, you give yourself a chance to win on offense, but then you give the defense an opportunity to be maximum fresh, get themselves into those long third downs on the other side, and beat the hell out of Drake May, which I think we're all invested in.
Yeah, we know why the 2 of 14 happened, because this defense was playing out of its mind. The 10 of 15 it points directly to the run game and the offensive line. Ultimately, comes back down to what you just said. You know, if C.J. Stroud can just eliminate any of the half the turnovers that you had, they'll be able to get it done.
Yeah. So I think that they will be able to run the football, but ultimately, like D'Amico Ryans was saying, there's a level of want to involved with it. And I think you saw that really show up in Pittsburgh. And it's not like I'm doubtful by any means, but I would love to see what they're capable of doing in that moment. And just to add a little bit of spice to the idea of the potential if the Texans run the football, you want to know what the success rate allowed is for the Patriots on third down?
I think we all do.
47.2%. It is the fifth worst
in
the NFL. If you can give yourself good, manageable third downs, you will continue drives versus the Steelers. This Patriots team.
Yeah.
So run the ball and run it well.
Run the damn ball.
And you have an opportunity to really very much win this game.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Somebody says, do the Texans still have to draft a running back high? That's a good question that we'll have to talk about, because I've for the while said that Woody Marks still probably profiles as like a running back too. Is he changing that narrative in your mind at all?
No.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to see. Hopefully we'll have three more games to make that decision right? But we'll have that conversation when we get to the offseason. Right now, we're still playing playoff football, baby, here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. All right. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping. The Cougars with a dominant win, and the Rockets managed to get a victory themselves. Plus, a familiar face joins the Patriots. We'll talk about all that and more next.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.